This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is retired Wichita educator and Korean War veteran John Levi. Welcome to Issues 2023.
Thank you.
Thank you. I attended Wichita's Hadley Junior High School from 1962 until the spring of 1965, and during that time, John Levi taught physical education and coached basketball and track. He coached me in basketball my 7th and 9th grade years, and recently I discovered there was much more to Coach's story than I ever knew, and we're going to share some of that story with you today. Coach, you were born in Lawrence, Kansas, is that right?
That's right, at Haskell.
At Haskell.
Haskell Indian School.
I understand that your father was quite an athlete. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, he played there for Haskell during the 20s, and then he coached after that. And then he went and played pro football with the Hominy Indians.
And we should clear up that you are a Native American. And what tribe are you from, John?
I'm a Cheyenne Arapaho.
Now, you had a story. Your father actually, competed against Jim Thorpe, the great athlete?
He and Jim Thorpe were real good friends.
Jim had some.
And he'd come to Haskell, and I would. He'd come to the house and visit my dad.
Wow!
And they'd put on an exhibition at the stadium between some of the games.
Mm-hmm. Wow! Now, like we said, your tribe is Arapaho. I didn't know this before. What is your Indian name?
My Indian name is Ne'ehe, Eagle.
Wow. That's quite a name. Tell us, let's talk a little bit about your athletics. As you were growing up, what sports did you participate in?
I played football and basketball.
And what schools were you at? You were at several.
At Wahpeton High School, Wahpeton, North Dakota High School, and I made All-State basketball in 1946, and I played at North Dakota Science School, and played a lot of basketball in the service, and when I got out, I went to Emporia State for a year.
Mm-hmm. Did you participate in athletics at Emporia State or just go to class?
Yes.
Oh, did you?
Football and basketball,
Now, as I understand it, you enlisted in the United States Navy in 1947. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, during World War II, a lot of the Sioux Indians came back and told their war stories, their combat stories, and I would listen to them, and I was very impressed. And I became acquainted with one of the Sioux Indians that was awarded the Medal of Honor, Woody Keeble. And my uncle was in the Navy, so that was kind of the influence on me in joining.
And in 1950, you joined the Marines as a corpsman, is that right?
No, I was assigned to the Marines. The Marines do not have a medical department. The Navy provides their medical support from the Navy.
Okay. So I misunderstood that. You actually were in the Navy. You were not in the Marines. You were in the Navy as a corpsman.
Yes, but when I reported to the Marines, they issued me a Marine uniform and weapons and all the combat equipment that I needed.
A corpsman, as I understand, that's almost like a doctor, right?
It's like an Army medic.
Okay. So how did you go through? I imagine you went through some special training for that, correct?
Nope.
No,
I didn't have any. I didn't have any Marine training or combat training. when the Korean War broke out, I was stationed at Bethesda, Maryland, at the Naval Medical Center. And when the war broke out, they were calling for Navy corpsmen from all over the world, from all ships and hospitals and different stations, to fill the ranks of the divisions. The 1st Marine Division is what I was assigned to.
All right, so we went from peacetime, and then the communists invaded South Korea, and then all of a sudden the United Nations says we got to stop these guys, and the size of the military had downsized. So yeah, all of a sudden they're looking for people like crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Korea. Tell me about the land. Were you at Incheon when the troops landed there?
Yes, I was in four battles. Incheon, Battle of Seoul, Korea, the capital. And we went to the Chosin Reservoir. I was in that battle. And then after that, I was in the Battle of Operation Killer, which was going up north again to retake all of the territory we lost.
What do you remember most about the Incheon landing? I'm sure that was your first landing.
Oh, the noise and all the bombardment. And all the Marines landing in various beaches, and the weather. We had to land at a certain time because of the tide. The tide was really bad, so we had to wait till the tide came up, and then it was about 4:30 when we landed.
4:30 in the morning?
No, afternoon.
Afternoon. Now, was there any difficulty getting from the landing craft on to shore?
No. Okay. Uh-uh. Right. No. The beach that I landed on had very little resistance. We didn't have very much. But I was very concerned because when we were about to make the landing, I was praying that it wasn't going to be another Tarawa or Iwo Jima.
Oh, yeah, with a lot of resistance. Okay, so we're ashore at Incheon now. Next, did you go to Seoul for the battle? And battle for the capital of South Korea then? How'd
that
go?
It was a lot of street fighting and snipers and barricades, things like that.
Yeah. So then let's talk about Chosin Reservoir. They call it the Frozen Chosin. You were at Chosin with 15,000 Marines surrounded by at least 125,000 Chinese soldiers.
Yes.
And the Marines battled not only a huge enemy force, but I understand it was incredibly cold at Chosin.
It was very, very cold. Got down to 32 below. Everything froze. The casualties that we got mainly were frostbite, and then we did get some wounded, but the cold weather
that had to do with the
saved them.
The
cold weather saved some of the wounded because it clotted the blood.
Right. Well, that must have been brutal.
It was very brutal. It was just death, destruction, and the suffering of the people and casualties, especially the Korean people. They were trying to get away from the Chinese, and there were thousands and thousands of trying to get through us somehow.
Okay, and then they marched out of there. And what do you say the last battle was Killer? Was that what you call it?
To Killer was mainly to take back the territory that we lost, and it was a lot of trench warfare was starting then, because the Chinese came down and were starting to infiltrate and have trenches and bunkers and things like that.
Now, could you tell me what would be your proudest moment was as a Navy corpsman?
What?
The one moment that stands out where you're real proud of something?
Yeah. Well, say again. Yeah. Say again.
I was saying, was there a moment when that one of your proudest moments as a corpsman in the Navy, Navy corpsman?
Proudest moment.
Oh, my proudest moment.
Yeah.
Was being able to serve with my Marine brothers and the camaraderie, and it was, I was just proud to be attached to them and saving as many wounded as I could.
All right. To our listeners, you're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is retired Wichita educator and Korean War veteran, John Levi. I call him Coach because he coached me in the 7th and 9th grades at Hadley Junior High. Coach, after your duty in Korea, as I understand it, you finished your education at the University of Kansas and Wichita State. And you were commissioned.
Wichita State.
Yeah. And you were commissioned in the Army Reserve. And as I understand
it,
you spent many years in the Reserve. Tell me about that.
27 years in the Army Reserve. In Wichita, the 89th Division, and then the 89th ARCOM.
What rank did you achieve there?
When I retired as a colonel, U.S. Army Reserve.
All right. Let's clarify something right now. That you're not a youngster anymore. How old are you, Coach?
I'm 94. I'll be 95 in November.
Are you still getting around pretty good, or you've been slowed down a little?
Well, I've got some medical issues. My knees are going out on me, and I have heart problems.
Well, if you get a certain age, everybody does. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit now about your path that took you to Hadley Junior High School, where I and my brothers met you. I had two brothers that went to school there. What brought you to Hadley? How did you get to Hadley Junior High?
Well, I was teaching at Mayberry and Marshall half days, half at Mayberry and half a day at Marshall for 2 years. And then when Hadley opened, I opened up Hadley and was on the groundwork of Hadley.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about, what are your best memories of Hadley? I mean, I know you coached
both. The best memories were the students and the student athletes, the coaches, my gym classes, the school spirit, and just enjoyed. That was the best part of my life, was at Hadley.
And I know that not only did you coach some really good athletes, you also, your teams played against some very good athletes here in the city. A lot of those guys went on to be pretty strong stars in athletics.
I had some that went to the National Football League, John Mosier and Russ Campbell. And Barry Sanders.
Did you actually coach Barry?
I coached Barry, yes. In gym classes.
Was that
track?
Was that at Hadley?
And it was at Hadley, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. How about that? Well, he went on to become quite a star in the NFL, that's for sure. Your best.
Yes, he did.
Now, after Hadley, where'd you go from there, from Hadley Junior High?
From there, I went to Green Valley, Arizona.
Really?
To get out of the cold wind of Kansas.
And how long ago was that? How long have you been down there?
That was in 1990.
Okay.
30 years we've been here. I came out here to take care of my mother, and when she passed, we just liked this area,
yeah.
And so we stayed.
I want to talk with you a little bit about your involvement in the Cheyenne and Arapaho Tribes Veterans. What was that organization?
That was mainly at the Mid-America All-Indian Center. I was involved with I was a board of trustees when the Indian Center first opened, and I was associated with Black Bear Bosun and Jay Hunter, Hollis Stabler, all the Indian leaders at that time.
Truman Ware, and right?
Truman Ware, yes.
Well, what?
And I also was with the Mid-America All-Indian Warrior Society.
How many people were in that? Do you remember what the membership was?
Probably around 30. It was a veteran organization.
All right, yeah.
Indian Veterans Organization, yeah.
All right, so you were there then at the creation of the Mid-America All-Indian Center.
Yes, I was. I was. Even before the center was built, we had a committee that we'd meet every once and made plans to try to get a center for the Indian people in Wichita so they'd have a place to meet and have their ceremonies and just be available for the Indian people.
To celebrate that heritage of the Indian people and the contributions made by the Indian tribes, right?
Say again.
You were celebrating the contributions of the American Indian, and not only that, but they have gatherings all the time over there now. Large gatherings of people and tribes, and they get together, and I know they do ceremonies and dances and whatnot.
Yes, uh-huh. My tribe is located at El Reno, Oklahoma. Concho is the headquarters for the Cheyenne Arapaho. And we finally got a casino down there, and that helps out. And the government is finally coming around for grants and funds for different departments, health mainly, and elders, and they have social activities, dances, and things.
I want to ask you a little bit about your family, if you don't mind. Have you been married to the same woman all these years?
No, my first wife passed away. And I'm now married to Marianne Levi.
Seems like she's probably a pretty good companion. What do you think?
I have a great companion and a wonderful, wonderful caretaker. And I just love her very much.
You, children, do you have two kids? Is that right?
I've got two girls.
Really?
Lynette Bignatelli in Wichita, and Sally Levi in Wichita.
And how? What was it like? Are there pretty good daughters for you?
Yes. I just became a great-great-grandfather.
Oh, great-great-grandfather. Not just a grandfather.
Yeah, great-great.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. How many great-great and grandchildren do you have, you think?
This is my first one.
First great, but yeah, I know you've got grandchildren, though, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're doing pretty good down there, pretty well down there in Arizona.
Oh, yes. It's a wonderful community. It's a senior area and a lot of support. We get a lot of support, and I'm involved with the church, and it's really a nice, quiet place. But we're the only thing is we're 50 miles from the Mexico border.
Uh oh. Careful. Hey, listen. You're sitting there in a chair, and you're looking back on your life and your career. You've done a lot of interesting stuff that we never knew about over at Hadley, but. Is there any regrets, any things, big mistakes you made?
I have no regrets, none whatsoever. All my life has been, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with all the people I met, and mommy, my students and my student athletes, and I'm just blessed.
All right. What do you do to occupy your time? How do you spend your
time? Well, I'm involved with the church.
Yeah.
I'm involved with the church, and I belong to veterans organizations, the American Legion, Korean War Veterans, and the Marine Corps League.
No.
And I'm involved with those organizations.
You sent me a letter with some clippings, and I noticed that was your handwriting on that envelope, I'm sure. Because after 60 some years, I remember your handwriting.
You know what? Remember when I used to mark each person's shirt before we started the year? Uh-huh. Everybody had a name.
Uh-huh. That's right. I remember that now. We did with those little white T-shirts and. Did you ever put any nicknames on there?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't put any nicknames. I didn't want to embarrass anybody. But I want to say one thing about my gym classes. I had some wonderful gym leaders, and they were so helpful in helping with gym classes, demonstrating and leading the class. And I remember Fridays was bombardment day.
yep.
That's the day we played dodgeball.
Oh, wow.
And I think everybody looked forward to that.
That was fun. It was a riot. Well, listen, we're gonna let you go here in a second, but I just want to tell you that, again, and my brothers and I knew you at Hadley and played basketball for you and ran track for you, and we never knew the other side of the story, which is your military career and all of the honors and so forth, and your activity with the American Indian community. Thank you so much for sharing with us today, and all my best to you and your family, Coach.
Okay, thank you so much, Steve. I really enjoyed your visit, and thank you again, and tell everybody hello for me.
I'll do that. Our guest, retired Wichita educator, Korean War veteran John Levi. That's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.